Greetings, everyone. What a beautiful Founders Day morning.
What good's a Founders Day with no bash-em-up bumper cars?
No rock concert.
No electricity.
Well, I,
Electricity? The founders of Hill Valley didn't have electricity.
Didn't have bash-em-up bumper cars either.
Mega boring.
But they did have horseshoe tossing and quilting bees and barn dances.
Where have I seen that face before?
Did they have tractor pulls?
No, but they chased greased pigs, and the winner got a home-baked apple pie.
Greased pigs?
Cool!
Now we can celebrate Founders Day just like the founders did.
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's March 27th. It's March 27th, which means it's the 27th day. It's the 27th day of the fourth year of the fourth year of Marchie McFly of Marchie McFly. And you may be saying, why are you being so annoying? Why are you being so annoying? Why are you saying everything twice? Why are you saying everything twice? Okay, that fun is over with. Folks, I had that double the introduction because today is double the episodes. Yes, we're talking two episodes of the animated series. I watched two episodes and I'm here to talk about two episodes. First, we'll be talking about season two, episode 9. Which is the Hill Valley Brownout. Then second, we'll be talking about episode 10, My Pops an Alien. But I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it. Let's start talking animated series. Now, as you may, I'm going to tell you, you would have no idea. I'm recording this first one before work, and I'm going to record the second episode later on in the day to give me a little break so that I'm not influenced in the second episode from my first episode. I'd like to I'd like to and need to take a break in between these two. So we're going, this episode is episode 9-8. It's called The Hill Valley Brownout. And that's a play on words because there is what you would turn, what you would call a brownout. There's sort of that. I mean, it's more like a blackout. And of course, Doc Brown is to blame. This episode, as I said, is the 9th episode of the 2nd season. It originally aired November 21st, 1992, so right around Thanksgiving. It is the 22nd episode overall in the series and was written by Wayne Katz and directed by, now it says Bob Gale here. I don't think so. I feel like they get it wrong every single time. No, it's definitely John Hayes. It says it right at the end. I feel like I need to become an admin on this wiki. So, Wayne Katz, Bob Gale always directs the live action things at the end. He's been directing all of the live action, but Wayne Katz wrote the live action and this version, the cartoon version. And I wonder, did I complain about Wayne Katz and time travel in the past? There is time travel in this episode, but we don't see it. We don't experience it. We're not part of it in any way. So it is the big Hill Valley Founders Day, but we're not there yet. Let's start off with what we usually do. Start off with Christopher Lloyd in front of a green screen. Now he's in a desert and it's all about finding water. He uses one of those old divining sticks. He's like, look, and it leads him to the Hoover Dam. But actually, he just used a map. He goes, these sticks are really just good if you, I don't know, want a walking stick or want to hang your coat up. But the Hoover Dam, it provides hydroelectric power. Oh, and then he starts talking about electricity and how it's been an issue for him in the past. And there you go. That leads us into our story. It is Founders Day in Hill Valley. They don't have a founder. They just call him the Old Pioneer. There's a big statue of him, the Old Pioneer and his mule standing on a hill. And I guess the hill is the hill in Hill Valley. Now, Hill Valley sounds like an oxymoron? Is that what that is? Where it's a hill and a valley? It would have made a lot more sense if his name was Jebediah Hill and he founded the valley after his name. Now, what I'm learning from this this episode is that Hill Valley seems like it's in the deep, it's in California, but it's in the deep, deep south, and they're in giant farmland, and everyone is like, hey, dearly. In the movie, it was just a city in California. Was there farmland? Yes, there was farmland, but it turned into a mall. There might have been some farmland still, but a lot of it was developed. It was a major casino area in one version of 1985, but in, you know, the version we saw, it was a standard town with all kinds of pawn and porn shops everywhere, thanks to Mayor Goldie Wilson. Or maybe Mayor Goldie Wilson was trying to clean things up. I can't give him all the blame, even though it seems like I do that a lot. But in this version of Hill Valley, it seems like they're in the middle of, like, Bumpkin. Is that what it is? Like the middle of nowhere. Everyone, the big thing is the big tractor pull that's coming for a Founders Day. And of course, everyone seems to live on some sort of farm. The whole family's getting excited for Founders Day. The boys are making a papier-mâché mule. Clara is making a flag. And Emmett is walking all over the flag for some stupid reason. He's in charge of groceries and stuff. And his exciting thing is he's going to make a giant hot dog machine. So he gets a call from the sheriff, Andy Taylor, which I believe is Andy Taylor's name, and Opie Taylor's dad is Andy Taylor, Andy Griffith's show. And I do like that the sheriff says, I'm calling all the kooks and the wackadoos and the mad scientists to make sure that they don't mess with the power grid for Founders Day. And again, he's for some reason, I don't know if he's Southern or not, but I'm making him Southern. And he's like, oh, don't worry, Sheriff. I'll make sure I'll have no issues with that. I'm working on my fancy hot dog machine. Yes, that's Doc's invention in this episode is a giant machine that can boil and make hot dogs super fast. Biff comes over because he's having a party for the big tractor pull. He needs to borrow some chairs. Now, I saw the party the Biff's having. There's like four guys there. He seems to have taken a lot of chairs. Doc has chairs that are like magical. They walk themselves. They do all kinds of things themselves. And he uses Biff to test out the hot dog machine. But of course, things don't go quite right. Biff's angry, but he takes the chairs anyway. Doc then goes, here's my super duper suds. I'm going to use this to wash the machine. Two little drops of the suds. And now suds go all over the farm. Like they take over the entire farm to the point where Clara's like, you know what? We're going into town. We'll see you later, Emmett. And they leave him behind. And then he's like, you know what? I know. I'll go test. I think he blew out the power at his house. I'll go test the my hot dog machine. Yes, it's a freaking hot dog machine. I'll go test that at the McFly's house. And I was like, yes, finally we're going over to the McFly's. Finally, we're going to see hopefully George and Lorraine. No, no dice, not at all. We just see Marty, no siblings, no parents. In fact, the garage that we know holds his, you know, beautiful Toyota 4x4 pickup truck. And this is just filled with all kinds of garbage. But Doc goes in there to test his machine out. While that's going on, at the same time, Biff has four friends over to watch the big tractor pull. That's the big thing. That's their excitement. And the chairs start malfunctioning and they break one of his TVs. And he's like, I'm going to. Now, remember, in other episodes, his TV is like 4 feet tall. Now it's like a 13-inch TV. He's like, I'm going to get that dark brown. So Doc goes into Marty's garage and he's like, oh, no, your outlets don't work. I know what I'll do. I'll take this bow and arrow with a suction cup in the end, shoot my plug straight up into the air, into the power out the pole outside, the power pole, whatever the hell you call it, street pole, the power line. That's how I will generate enough power to test my friggin' hot dog machine. Even though the sheriff asked me not to mess with the power around Founders Day because it's such a big deal in Hill Valley. Well, he shoots the arrow up into the power line and it takes out the entire town and everyone is after him. Clara kicks him out of the house, gives him a suitcase and says, get the hell out of here, you dirty scumbag. She doesn't say that, but I know that's what she wants to do. Now there are people picketing. Emmett Brown is unfair to our children. Women are picketing. They're very Karen-like. They're picketing the outside the market. They are, you know, I don't even have anyone to charge my golf cart. And little Timmy doesn't want to read by candlelight. They start throwing tomatoes at Clara. She runs off. The kids are bullying Jules and Vern because of what a Doc did. And Doc can't even go in the house. He has a dog bowl just like Einstein. And he's living outside in the doghouse, I guess, or in the garage. So he has an idea. He'll fix everything. He will figure out a way to fix the power grid. So he goes into town to go to the hardware store, but the sheriff's like, you come here, grabs Doc, throws him in the car, drives him to Hill Valley City Limits. The sign actually says Hill Valley City Limits. Like that's what the sign says. Doesn't say welcome to Hill Valley or you're not leaving Hill Valley. It's really dumbed down for us idiots. He throws him out like he's Brian Dennehy throwing out John Rambo. And he says, don't come back into my town. You come back into this town, I'm going to arrest you. So what does he do? He comes right back into town, goes to Marty's house, dresses up as a cowboy, looks kind of like the sheriff, to be honest with you. I thought he was trying to be the sheriff, but he dresses like a cowboy so that now he can go to the hardware store in costume. So he goes to the hardware store and the guy's like, hi, Doc. Oh, no. So what does he do? He then figures, what's the next best thing to dress up as? Oh, yes, I'll dress up as a Japanese woman. Let me repeat that. Doc Brown, I will dress up as a Japanese woman. He dresses up in full geisha attire to go shopping, puts the white pancake makeup on, everything, gets all the shopping done, all that, you know, everything's fine. He's like, oh yes, thank you very much, domo arigato. Thank God he doesn't like try to put on some sort of offensive Asian affect to his voice. I was very nervous about that. The sheriff comes over, he's like, hey there, and the guy running the hardware store goes, oh, not you again, Doc Brown. So we go back and he throws the sheriff out of the store. That's kind of cute, I guess. So Doc now makes this super duper power grid machine that'll give unlimited free power to the city. He presses a button and it literally inflates. It's a giant, it looks like an inflatable that you'd have in your yard, but he plugs it in to the power grid, turns it on, and everything turns back on. The sheriff sees him and goes, you know what? I told you not to come back, but thank you. You've saved the city. Hooray. So they're ready to go to bed. And you think he's allowed back in the house. Everything's working. He's happy. Let's turn the lights off. No lights can turn off. Not a one. Einstein can't turn his light off. Now he has a bed inside, I guess. So Einstein was stuck up, was Doc in the doghouse, and Einstein got to go in. The whole city can't turn their lights off now. Light bulbs are working even when you unplug them. People are freaking out. So now they're going to run Doc out of town again. But Biff's like, I recorded the tractor pull. He's really more focused on the tractor pull. We need to go after this. We can all go to my house to watch the tractor pull. He's holding the VHS tape in his hand about this tractor pull. But now they march over to Doc's house and they're about to take him out. But when they open the door, thankfully, the Browns aren't there. No, they're replaced by a full family of geishas. Yes, Clara, Doc, Vern, and Jules are all dressed now as Japanese geishas. Again, thankfully, no accents or anything like that or affects to the voice. They're like, oh, sorry, because cartoon town folks are idiots. But Doc trips, his wig falls off, and they realize it's him. So I guess they allow him to change his clothes and take him outside. And they're like, we need to smash and break this machine that's causing all these issues. The guy that's with Doc had the funniest line that actually makes sense. He goes, let's destroy what we don't understand because we hate it. Or so, it was something like, we hate what we don't understand. Let's destroy what we don't understand. It was really, that was a clever line. So like, how do we do it? And Biff's like, I know what to do. I'll pour soda on it. And they're like, no, don't do that. He pours soda on it. And now the machine starts going crazy, shooting lightning out everywhere. It shoots lightning over to the Hill Valley Movie Theater. And guess what's playing at the Hill Valley Movie Theater or Hill Valley Theater? Now showing Back to the Future. What? Wait a second. Are you telling me that Back to the Future, the movie, is based on real people and the real people are the cartoon? What is happening? What is going on? Now, yes, I understand. It's a cute little thing for kids to see. Maybe they'll notice it. Maybe they won't. But I'm a mature adult, and I don't know what the hell's going on here. I want to see this version of Back to the Future. That's what I want to see now. I want to see the full thing from the eyes of this weird wackadoo world in the animated series. So the machine's going crazy, and Doc goes, I know what to do. He goes, I need to borrow your VHS tape. Why? I don't know. He ties a string to it, throws it up, and it gets caught so he can climb into the machine. Now, remember, he inflated this machine. Now there's all kinds of metal inside it. He just goes into the machine and unplugs it, and everything's fine. But there's no power. And still at Founders Day, people are upset that there's no power. But then this old guy shows up and goes, you know, in my day, it was fine without power. We used to do hog wrestling and I don't know, all kinds of other things. It was perfectly fine. They're like, really? Yeah, well, you don't need power for Hill Valley. And Doc's like, you look familiar. And he's saying all this in front of the statue of a guy that looks suspiciously like him. So he tells everyone, there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do without power. And everyone cheers and everyone's happy again. And Clara goes, thanks, old timer. He goes, take me back in your fancy chariot. Puts him in the car. You don't actually see the time travel, but Doc's like, he's looking at the statue. Then he turns and he sees the DeLorean take off. Thanks, Clara. So Clara went back to the founding of Hill Valley, got the old dude. We don't know his name. I wish it was Hill. Brought him back, and he talked everyone into not worrying about power. They figured out the power a few days later. I think they used a dam or something. Again, I don't know. Doc's back, and now he's at the part of the dam that he's behind the scenes of the dam where there's like valves and stuff, and he needs to use a valve to pour himself a bottle of water, but an alarm goes off. But he realizes he forgot to fill his own bottle of water, and he says, dams and sluices. Now, he really wanted to say dam, but he said dam and sluices, and I was like, what? So I started typing dam and sluice, and what the hell is a sluice? And a sluice is one of the most common hydraulic structures used to control or measure the flow of open channels on a dam. That's a sluice or sluice gates. So sluice and dam work together, and he can use that to swear because that's basically what he kind of did. And then he goes, but how am I going to get water? And then water just gets poured on him. And that's the end of his action. But then he goes, you can make your own candle? Hydroelectric power? I don't know how this played into it. It cuts over. Bill Nye's in the kitchen. There's no lights on. He uses vegetable oil and a wick, and he shows how to make his own candle. But you need three things for fire: fuel, oxygen, heat. Again, why teaching fire to children? I don't know. And he goes, you can do all this, light a candle, and it will last a few minutes. So you can find what you're looking for. And in this case, Bill Nye was looking for a light bulb. So again, I ask you, why are you teaching kids about fire just to get a light, just to turn on a candle that goes for a couple minutes? If you said this would last you for days and you could use it in some sort of emergency, I don't know. Seems like a lot, like a stretch. The whole thing was a stretch. The going to the dam for power, using then a candle, I guess, for power. I don't know. The whole thing's a little wackadoodle. But I did it. I watched it. There was time travel in it, and time travel did play a factor in the story. But we didn't see it. We didn't witness it. We just saw the aftermath of it. Bit of a come down after the last episode, not as bad as some of the other ones that I've recently seen, but thankfully that's only the first one of the day.
Nothing's too good for my kid as long as it's cheap.
What I have here is a very magical and sophisticated apparatus. I call it the Galaxy Viewfinder 500.
Whoa, what's it do?
For a mere $10.
Wait a minute. How come so inexpensive?
What a chump.
The GV500 is on special discount for tonight's comet, the mighty Kahui.
I'll take two if you got them. Kahui!
Gesundheit.
Did he say the comet Kahui was coming?
Doi, what was your first clue?
Kahui! 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa! I gotta change my shoes! I haven't even gone shopping! Comet Kahui! Help me! It's Comet Kahui! The aliens are coming again! Aliens! I've seen it with my own two ears!
We're here to talk about another episode. Yes, that's right. I said double the fun, double the action, double the mic, double the animated series, and that means double the theme song. Yes, we're back now to talk about the second animated series episode of this one Marty McFly episode. I recorded the first one. Look, I'm, you know, full. I was going to say full exposure, but that would earn an explicit tag. Full disclosure, I recorded that first episode this morning. I recorded it before work, and now it's after work. It is the evening. My wife actually went out with a friend of hers. And so the house is empty, and it's just like I'm here with my microphone ready to talk to you about another episode of the animated series. My dog, she's doing good. She had a nice restful day. Hopefully she'll start really being herself in the next couple of days, and maybe she'll be able to watch the final episodes of the Back to the Future animated series with me, because after today there are only 4 episodes left. And by 4 I mean 3 episodes left, because this is episode 10 of season 2, My Pops, an Alien. I had a feeling
looking at this episode that it wasn't going to be one of my favorites. Now, there is time travel in it, and there is time travel that matters to the story in it. It's just the story is, how you say, dumb, kind of dumb. So this is the second season, 10th episode, 23rd episode overall. It aired December 5th, 1992. So again, I'm a junior in high school. Trying to think, what did I get my junior year in high school for Christmas? I think I got a Letterman's jacket with the jacket with the white leather sleeves for my high school. I wanted a letter. So to get a letter, I think you either do drama, which, you know, looking back, maybe I should have done, or athletics, which at the time I thought I could do. But my athletics, okay, I'll tell you right now, I threw the shot put because it was the easiest way to get a letter. And I did it my sophomore year and then my junior year because I wanted, honestly, swear to God, I wanted the letter with the white trimmer on. It's a C, Central Catholic High School. I wanted the letter with the C because I thought it aesthetically looked more pleasing. So I threw the shot put twice and then I was done. I retired from shot put throwing. But I think that's what I got for Christmas back in 1992. What does that have to do with this episode? Absolutely nothing. This isn't a Christmas episode. I don't think we get another Christmas episode. We might. I don't know. I really don't know, but I don't think we will. This episode has to do with aliens and yeah, that's pretty much, and a town of idiots. That's how I can best describe it. It was written, but now this is the first time I saw this, at least the first time I remember seeing this. It has a writer who wrote the actual episode and someone who develop the story. So the story is by Mark Hoffmeyer, and the writer of the episode is Mary Jo Luden, who we've talked about before. Now, Mark Hoffmeyer has nothing on the wiki in his IMDb, but I am pulling up, I mean, on the Back to the Future wiki, but I'm pulling up his IMDb, and he is still working today. He has written a lot of animated things from like a lot of Marvel animated, Extreme Ghostbusters, Mortal Kombat, All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He was a writer on that for 13 episodes. He's been writing, you know, 22 episodes of Heavy Gear, the animated series from 2002. I don't remember it either. Spider-Man, The Venom Saga. I feel like, is that the book? I'm reading a book. Though I read the first part and I need to read the other part. He wrote for Green Lantern, the animated series, DreamWorks Dragons. Oh, the Dragon animated series. Beware the Batman. He's written 3 episodes of Max Steel, 42 episodes of Lego Nexo Knights, and all the way up, I'm going to go up Legend Quest, Masters of the Myth. In 2024, he's written Octonauts, Above and Beyond. I don't know what that is, but it looks like a children's show. So this guy has been working, and he has one thing upcoming, Mr. Burcham, a TV series in pre-production. Mr. Burcham, it's an animated show. It looks almost like an adult animated show, starring Patrick Warburton, Danny Trejo, Machete, Roseanne Barr. Oh, they dragged her out of the mothballs again. Rob Riggle, there's a guy that I know is funny. I know he's supposed to be funny. And I like him. Like I like Rob Riggle. I like when I've heard him interviewed, but he doesn't quite hit it for me. Adam Carolla, there's a guy that I sometimes like. Alonzo Bowden, Kyle Dunnigan, very funny comedian who does impressions. Jay Moore. I mean, what the hell is this? Candace Owens. Is this like Jay Moore? Like, what the hell is this thing? What channel is this going to be on? I thought Candace Owens was like a political reporter or a sports reporter. I got no idea, but I know I'm losing my concentration. Let's jump back to our wonderful animated series and just not focus on anything. But anyway, that's who that guy is. And he got his start coming up with this story, which then Mary Jo Luden went and wrote the script for. I don't know who to blame. I'm not sure exactly, but it's 1992. I feel like, when did Fire in the Sky come out? Hey, Google, when did the movie Fire in the Sky come out? 1993, March 13th, starring D.B. Sweeney. I believe my brother and I went to see that in the theater. March 12th, 1993. So it's a year before that, but aliens were still big. Like, I feel like there was a renaissance in the 90s for alien talk. But you ever notice that the, like, now everyone has an HD, you know, camera in their pocket. And we haven't seen any HD spaceships flying overhead. I wonder why that is. But in Hill Valley, they are afraid that aliens might be coming. But before we get there, we start, of course, with Doc Brown in front of almost what looks like a War of the Worlds alien invasion. But it just turns out that it is his really nice big screen TV. And he's sitting there eating popcorn. And he's like, people actually thought aliens were real. I think he's talking about War of the Worlds and what's his name? Orson Welles. And so he goes, and that something like that almost happened in Hill Valley. So we go over to Hill Valley and Marty's there showing up at a, I don't know what this store is. Oh, World of Wonderment, Wally's World of Wonderment. And there's a big sign for the Comet Kahui is coming. So I guess everyone's excited. The Comet Kahui, big signs. Marty shows up with the DeLorean Parks flying in parallel parking. Again, in 1985, the DeLorean was kept secret and hidden. 1990, it was destroyed. They Doc rebuilt it, and now they just flauntingly drive it all over the greater metropolitan of Hill Valley. So he goes in with the kid. Wait a minute. Why does he go there? I have no idea. The kid's already there. They're trying to buy a telescope to check out this this Comet Kablooey. And Marty's there too. I don't know why. I think he was there to pick something up. It doesn't matter. Biff is there trying to buy a really nice telescope. But he finds out. Now, there's a big giant sign on the building. A giant sign says Comet Kablooey. So the guy's like, look, I can't sell you that. It's too much. Well, it breaks, and Biff tries to con him out of money. He's like, look, I'll sell you this. He pokes a couple holes in boxes, and a box says, you can use this to check out the Comet Kablooey. Biff shits his bricks. He goes, Comet Kablooey. He grabs Marty, the Comet Kablooey. He runs out of there, never asks Marty how his parents are, because his parents don't exist in this series. He freaks out and runs out of Comet Kablooey, and we learn that the whole town's freaking out. The Comet Kablooey is coming back, and all these aliens are coming back again. The guy had the sign on his store. It wasn't a secret that this Comet Kablooey, I can't believe I keep saying that, is coming back to town. And now the whole Hill Valley, within minutes, is freaking out. There's a guy holding a sign, you know, the aliens will be here today. The people are running out of town. Biff is on the phone screaming, you know, we need... you get out of town. And this old timer's like, oh yeah, I'm getting out of town. I'll wait till the bus comes. This all started 25 years ago. That's where the first alien thing happened. We started hearing weird sounds, and there was all this weird magnetism. The whole town became a magnet. So we cut over. Biff crash. He's driving this tractor again, because Hill Valley's like podunk friggin' farmland. He crashes this tractor into a giant spaceship looking thing with a giant magnet on it, by the way. And he's like, oh my God, it's the alien ship. And he keeps driving, he crashes into a tree, and he goes, oh, sorry, Doc Brown. Well, I think he just calls him Brown. I'm returning your tractor. So he stole his tractor, because we're all going to be killed anyway by the aliens. I found a spaceship. And Doc goes, oh, that's where I left it. He goes, oh my God, you're the alien. Doc Brown has this giant contraption on his head to see the comet, not because he's an alien. Spoiler alert. He freaks out. The whole town freaks out. He calls the sheriff, and the sheriff and everyone calls the goddamn National Guard. These Boy Scouts take a cannon off of a statue, and they all go to try to, you know, kill Doc Brown. So they show up at his house, and the kids are like, oh my God, our dad's not an alien. You know what? They said this all started back in 25 years ago. Let's go back 25 years. So they get in the DeLorean and travel back to 1967. We see some weirdness going on with magnets. They know something weird's going on. And they end up getting dragged out by Biff Tannen, who his truck gets pulled away. Remember, he's the one who saw the alien. He's the only one who said he saw the alien back in 1967. Now, it's been 12 years since Back to the Future time. So Biff, he barely looks any different. I think he has a flat top. He doesn't look any different. He drives off and sees this ship, and he sees Doc. Again, it's just Doc using his ship. It's not a spaceship. Obviously, it looks like one. Then the kids all drive up. They see Doc. They're like, oh, my God, he is an alien, because they see him getting off a ship. They see him wearing a weird green costume. What I like is his hair is blonde, so that's cool because he's younger. And we see him head over to the Brown family mansion. So we get one nice shot of the old house, the house that burned down, obviously, years later. And they're like, I can't believe it. Our dad really is an alien. Well, there's only one way to find out. They get on the ship. They're like, oh, my goodness. He gets on looking like an alien, starts pedaling. The ship takes off, okay? They're like, finally, Vern says, hey, are you an alien? I don't know. He says some stupid thing like that. And they all talk to him. He's like, wait a minute. What are you kids doing here? I'm not an alien. This is just my ship that I use to propel myself so I can get a really beautiful view of Comet Kablooey. And he uses a magnet for whatever reason. And he opens the door and he opens the roof and he gets a nice, beautiful shot of the comet. So it's all can be explained that he just built this airship. But what they can't explain, what they don't explain, what they ignore and pisses me off. And yes, I'm a nerd. Yes, I shouldn't be angry. Yes, I'm taking this stuff way too seriously. But Doc Brown takes one look at Marty. Marty, who he knew 12 years ago, looks at him and doesn't think a thing, doesn't say a thing, doesn't recognize him, doesn't say, hey, Marty, you're back. Nothing. Marty could have had multiple adventures going back to see Doc through the 50s and 60s, helping him to build the DeLorean or helping him perfect the time machine, make it even better. He didn't do anything. In fact, Marty could have put a mustache on, that would have explained it, or changed a wig, something. But there were jokes that he said something. Oh no, it wasn't there. They're like, well, who are you? He goes, oh, my name is this, and this is that, and this is Michael J. Fox. You do kind of look like Michael J. Fox. There was a couple lines of him looking like Michael J. Fox. It doesn't sound like Michael J. Fox, but that was kind of funny. So they're like, oh, Vern calls him Pop. And he's like, what? He goes, oh, no, I thought I heard a pop. He goes, oh, that's this chain. It needs a little oil. So Marty goes over, grabs an oil can, and goes, I know what to do. I'll spray it with oil. Of course, it's not oil. It's goddamn acid that melts steel. Why would you have that on an airship? I don't know. He sprays it. He's like, no, the belt breaks. They crash. Vern and Jules are killed on impact. Okay, that doesn't happen. They crash into this bog, into this pond, in swamp. Everyone's fine. They get off, and he's like, well, I don't know. Doc just leaves. And they're like, well, I guess we know he's not an alien, so now we need to go take care of Biff. So they fly the DeLorean over to Biff, and they scare him, saying he's an alien, but we're going to take you with us unless you promise not to tell anyone we were ever here, and do not ever talk about, you know, Doc Brown being an alien. So he's like, okay, I will. They go back to 1992. Doc's there working on his machine. Doesn't remember seeing them. Doesn't say, hey, that was you guys. Well, it comes up a little bit later. He's like, I wish I used to have an airship. And they're like, we know where it is. It's in the swamp. And there it is. 25 years later, nothing happened to it in the swamp. Nobody found it. He pushed apart like three pieces of tall grass, and there it was. But nobody noticed it. He's like, how did you know it was there? And a young boy once told me, you know, was with me on this when it crashed. Doesn't recognize that they all look like that. And then they drive away. They see Biff, who now has a roadside stand, who talking about how he met aliens and how they left him behind because he was too smart, even though they said they were taking him because they were looking for the dumbest man on Earth. Marty's like, hey, I thought you weren't supposed to talk about the aliens. He goes, who told you that? He goes, that's what they tell everyone. And then he drives away like that's some clever joke. We jump, and that's it. That's the end of the episode. And we jump back to Doc Brown. Doc Brown is now, he talks about optical illusions. Okay, I guess that's the connection. So he says, sometimes, you know, people used to see all the time, they saw aliens. But how did they see that? Well, it's something called optical illusions, where people think they're seeing something they're not actually seeing. And he walks up, he looks like he's watching TV. Then Christopher Lloyd walks up and goes, ha ha, I use this dummy when I go get popcorn to save my seat. This is, of course, before assigned seating at most movie theaters now. So he talks about optical illusion. Then we jump over to Bill Nye, the quiet guy, and he shows how you can make optical illusions. He shows one trick with these two lines. One looks longer than the other, but they're the same. Then a bird in a cage, and if you flip it fast enough, it's like a flip book. I mean, it's silly stuff. And then Marty, Doc at the end is like going, oh, I'm falling into a black hole or some shit. And that's the end of the episode. Oh, and then it shows that he's actually on a set of the local Hill Valley television studio. And not everything is what it seems. And that's the end of the episode. Time travel? Yes. Time travel for a specific reason, and that reason played part of the story? Yes. But most of it was dumb, and it was all spoiled by the fact that Doc didn't recognize Marty. That's what it all came. Marty, what are you doing here? Who are these kids? And then he could have said, oh, these are my nephews. That's all he could have said. And he goes, we came back, I guess, because people are going to, you know, we came back to tell you this. I mean, he's fine. He made it all the way with everything else he knew, so he could learn a little more. So they're not going to break the space-time continuum. Oh, my God. I've been talking about this cartoon for how many different episodes now? 23 episodes. You know what that means? There's only 3 episodes left. But we're running out of days. So tomorrow night, another double episode. Another 2 episodes, 11 and 12. And then Friday night, I'm going online with my good friend Eric. And we're talking the final episode of the Back to the Future animated series. But then you say, well, Michael, that's not the final episode of Marty McFly. You still have 2 more days in March after that. And all I have to say is, you're right. I do. What's going to be happening then? Well, I probably said it so many times, but if you don't remember, or if you didn't listen, or if you don't care, then stick around. Wait a minute. If you don't care, don't stick around. But if you don't remember, you'll find out soon enough. It will be utter madness. I might have said too much already. All right, my friends, that's it. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and something else. Instagram. Yeah, that's it. All at Geek Mentality. Go to linktree.com/geekmentality to find everything I work on. You can go to the YouTube channel, which is Fans Not Experts. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. That's because the website is fansnotexperts.com. Now I'm done. I'm going to go have a nice salad, then get ready to watch some Survivor. And that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. I will see you tomorrow. We're going to do this whole thing over again. But until then, my friends, here is, the house is empty so I can be loud. Here is my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode. Fans Not Experts.